all yours. As soon as I let it go.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. And nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. Let all things be exactly as they are. Okay. If there's anyone who has a recorder outside of Lynn and myself, please do record, because I do not know if my recordings will take. But all is perfect, all is well, and we let all things be exactly as they are. And that is total integrity. It really doesn't matter. As Krishnamurti says, you want to know my secret? No matter what happens, I don't mind. So with that, I'm going to wish everybody a beautiful Shalom Sunday morning here at Awakening Together service. I'm very happy and thrilled that I am here once every 3 weeks. Last week there was no service. Many of the presenters and the people here in this room were at the Course in Miracles conference last Sunday here in New York. And of course, next year, next April, is going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk a little about that. Right now, it is time to give a hug and a squeeze and to look into the mind and the heart of all who are gathered here and all who are listening in on the radio. And if you're listening on the radio, we welcome you to our Awakening Together Sunday morning service in Awakening Together Sanctuary. So thank you all for being here. Right now, Lynn, if you're going to play a little music, I'll turn this mic back to you. And we're going to give this as an opportunity to say hello to everybody. And you might say, hey, shalom, shalom, shalom. Nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. Peace unto you. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn, for this Sunday morning music service.
All right, you're going to hear music from my computer because I don't have access to the radio right now, but hopefully, here we go. Yes, we got Peter Fippen singing in the background. All right, and I'm going to turn the mic back over to you, Deb. I may not play music for the rest of this service because I'm leaving for the airport soon. So here you go. I love you.
Okay, am I being heard? Thank you so much, Lynn, for the music. And as long as you keep that recorder playing, because my recorder doesn't seem to want to play, and that is fine with me. We do have a few announcements, but let's take a look at low volume, low volume. Okay, low volume. Low volume. Is it still low volume here? Hello? Still low volume? It's good. It's good? Okay. Better. A little low. Okay. That's probably as good as it gets. And let's take a look at the purpose of Awakening Together. And Awakening Together, of course, is what is Awakening Together? It's a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. Our purpose is we are an assembly of equals. I like that word, equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to our one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I'm going to see if I can post that up so every... Oh, thank you so much, Bob DeWater, who is both my admin this morning. Thank you so much. And my reader. Thank you so much, Bob DeWater, for being the reader, which will come up very shortly. Okay, we have five core values, and if we invite you, if you're not already a member, to just go to awakening-together.org. And take a look at what we're about, and you'll see our purpose and our core values. If you are in accord with the five core values, please say yes, and you become a member. And at this point, we're almost at 500 members. That was the train whistle announcing that we're approaching 500 members, and we've been here about a year and. Well, a little bit more than a year and a half, and we thank all who have joined and have accepted the core values of Awakening Together as members. I have selected for the one core value number four to take a look at, and number four goes something like this. We affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing, I like that word, idolizing, without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. And for the most part, that's pretty much what most of us do on the path. We select one path and we say, this is it, and my path is the best path, and I'm not too sure about others' paths, but if they knew about my path, they would be much better off. And of course, that is the ego's deception. It's actually a lack of integrity, because integrity says that all my brothers, the word all included, are on the perfect path for who they are, what they are, as God created them. Now, they don't have to take my path. Their path is perfect for them. And that's exactly what core value number four is saying to me. A few announcements. I'm going to go to, Regina Dawn Acres will be in Northern Ireland, August 30th through September 3rd, I believe it is. August 30th through September 3rd. If you're over in the UK, at all, you might, or anywhere on the continent across the pond, you may want to check in on Regina Dawn Akers. She'll be at a workshop there in Northern Ireland. The other announcement I would make at this particular time is our fall retreats, and I trust that Barb DeWater is putting that link up. We have, starting September 30th, am I right? No, October 30th, excuse me, October 30th, three different segments of a retreat. The whole retreat will take like 10 days, but starting Friday, October 3rd through Sunday, we're going to have a weekend being with Jan Fraser, who is the author of When Fear Falls Away and the Freedom of Being. Then a week within with Regina Dawn Akers. That'll be from Sunday, November 1 to Friday, November 6, a week with Regina Dawn Akers, and that's going to be a delight for whoever is there, for sure. And that's followed by the weekend beyond with Bentino Massaro, Friday, November 6th through Sunday, November 8th. And that looks like if you can go for the whole 10 days, wow, what a wonderful retreat, a way to really return to self, return to the peace and the love within, because this will be an opportunity to really go within, knowing each of these people, Jan Fraser, Regina Dawn Akers, and Bentino. They do invite us to go within, beyond the superficial without. Okay, and my final announcement is for those people who both attended the last Course in Miracles conference in New York. I know that they were invited to attend the next conference, which is going to be 1 year from the first weekend in April. It'll be April 9th, 10th, 8th, 9th, 10th at a hotel, at the Rio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And that's a mile from the Strip, so it's not part of the usual stuff that's going on the Strip. It's removed. It's a perfect place for literally a Course in Miracles conference. And it's a luxurious hotel. The room rate that everyone has received for the conference is $99. And a lot of those are suites. So you could be getting a suite for $99 a night. That's half the price of what it was in New York City. And Regina Dawn Akers, I believe, would be one of the presenters. If not, it will probably be Lynn Johnson from Awakening Together. I'm going to be there with Veronica Gabrielle, one of the teachers here, every Tuesday and Wednesday night. And if you'd like to take advantage of the original conference price of the ticket, I think you can get it either from Regina or from myself. It doesn't really matter. If you do get it from me, and the original conference price is $399, it's now already $449, $50 more, and in 2 months it'll be $499, $100 more. So you can lock in your ticket to the next conference in Las Vegas very easily. All you need is a deposit right now of $125, the balance to be paid by May 31 to the Community Miracle Center. And if you would like to get one of the tickets that I have, Veronica and I have about 20 tickets left together. And if you want to earmark it so that Awakening Together receives the financial remuneration, the reward for, you can just earmark it and say, I'm buying the ticket from you, but I'd like Awakening Together to receive the financial credit, and that's another way to contribute and donate to Awakening Together. We'd be more than glad to give the small amount of income that does come from every ticket sold back to Awakening Together in your name. Okay, and that $3.99 includes all meals, and if you went to the last conference, you know that the meals are pretty sumptuous. There's so much to eat. You can't possibly go there without having anything that you want. And I think at the Hotel Rio. It's going to even be more sumptuous, if I may say that. Okay. We're probably at a point where I'm going to ask Barb DeWater to do a reading, which there's two different things that she'll be reading from. One is something from Robert Adams, which came to me this week, and I thought was so perfect for the topic that I've chosen for today. And today's topic is the road to atonement is not paved with worshiping idols. And if you were like me, you probably think that idols may be sex, drugs, and rock and roll or something of this world. But we're going to look at a more subtle look at what idols are. So the other reading that Barb is going to be doing, Barb DeWater will be sharing from, is A Course in Miracles text, chapter 11, section 6, Awakening to Our Redemption. And it's going to be paragraphs 9 and 10. And if you listen to the last paragraph, you hear the word equality over and over and over. Because equality is integrity. Equality is integrity. Thank you so much, Barb DeWater. We're going to turn this mic over to you. Thank you so much for being my reader here today.
Can you hear me okay? Let me know if that's... Yeah, okay. I had it on stereo mix. Okay. So I'm going to read two readings, as Doug mentioned. And the first one is from Robert Adams, one of my favorite teachers. And Robert Adams says this. The finite can never understand the infinite. The mind does not exist. You are free now. You have always been free. You have absolutely nothing to let go of, nothing to overcome, and nothing to attain. You have no samskaras, no problems, and no karma. Whatever seems to happen to your mind and body has nothing to do with you, the real you. When you truly understand this, you are free. The next reading is from A Course in Miracles, as Dove was mentioning, chapter 11, section 6, and the last two paragraphs, just to let you know, I have the second edition. This is the original Course in Miracles I bought back in 2001. So, it says here, you will awaken to your own call. For the call, capital C, for the call to awake is within you. If I live in you, you are awake. Yet you must see the works I do through you, or you will not perceive that I have done them unto you. Do not set limits on what you believe I can do through you, or you will not accept what I can do for you. Yet, it is done already. And unless you give all that you have received, you will not know that your Redeemer liveth, and that you have awakened with him. Redemption is recognized only by sharing it. God's Son is saved. Let me say that again. God's Son is saved. Bring only this awareness to the sonship, and you will have a part in the redemption as valuable as mine. For your part must be like mine if you learn it of me. If you believe that yours is limited, you are limiting mine. There is no order of difficulty in miracles, because all of God's sons are of equal value, and their equality is their oneness. The whole power of God is in every part of Him, and nothing contradictory to His will is either great or small. What does not exist has no size and no measure. To God, all things are possible. And that's the end of the reading for today. Thank you, Dove, for letting me be your reader, and I'm going to let go of the mic. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, Barb. Barb DeWater. Am I being heard, Barb? I'm not sure. Getting used to my brand new computer. Okay, thank you so much, Barb. And what a wonderful reading. The reading from Robert Adams, in that one sentence, the finite can never understand the infinite. In other words, the mind that seems to be apart, separate from the one mind of God, can never understand the eternal infinity of the love of God. Oh, you can say, I don't understand, I'm not there yet, and that's all okay. You can say, I don't understand. But it does take a willingness to say, the reason I'm not there yet is I'm still thinking with that mind that I made up, that I made lovelessly as a way to be different, special, and autonomous. The other thing that inspired today's topic is a quote that was, lately I've been looking at the word integrity a lot. You know, like for instance, lesson 47, God is the strength in which I trust. And we talk about that lesson a lot, and it's helped so many people, including my wife, Suzanne, who really had a miracle happen while she was in the hospital after being told she had serious surgery coming up, and she was sent to a bigger hospital to do that serious surgery. She literally opened up her course book and did her favorite lesson, which had saved her once before, lesson 47, God is the strength in which I trust. She noticed the next lesson, just after that, it's lesson 48, there is nothing to fear. And it says, this is a statement of fact. Well, there is something to fear if I think I'm alone, I'm doing this by myself, and others, I have to depend on others to get me through the night, and maybe the doctor is good, and maybe he's not, but you know, I'm going to trust in something outside of me. No, we're never really trusting in something outside of us. We're really trusting in our one self, united with our Creator, and that's our integrity. The word integrity literally means integral or whole, my whole self, my whole mind. And the infinite mind, the whole mind, the integrous mind, Dr. David Hawkins, most of you remember David Hawkins, Power versus Force, would always use the word the integrous mind. The integrous mind is one that is one with the integrity of God. The word integrity came to me many moons ago when I came across the justice of God, chapter 25. And in the last section, chapter 25, section 9, is called the justice of heaven. The justice of heaven. And in that, it came to me, almost like Spirit just, you know, said, Dove, this is it. It came to me that God is not really watching us. It's our own integrity. It's our own integrity that is so total that it will not allow us to get away with less. It's like my integrity and God's integrity are not two different integrities. It's the same integrity. So if I think that God is whole and pure and I'm not quite getting there yet, well, that's my lack of integrity. And he gives you kind of a acid test in that chapter 29, section 9, the justice of heaven. He says, you know, if you are reluctant to give, you must have been reluctant to accept. Ah. So whenever I feel that I can't fully share with my brothers and sisters for any reason because maybe I'm holding back, it isn't that I'm holding back. I haven't been willing to fully accept that what God gives, he gives to all equally. He gives his entire being to all equally. Now, if I'm in denial of that, if I'm in denial, and remember, he tells you very clearly in text chapter 7, section 7, paragraph 1, denial is as total as love is. So whenever we say, well, teach only love for that is what you are, you know, to give it lip service is one thing. But love is total. It's a total commitment. As he says, you cannot be fully committed sometimes. Now, we talk about integrity and wholeness and fullness. And it came to me just this past week, just before the conference in New York. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. You know, who's counting, right? Somewhere in the last week, it came to me, well, you know, you can talk about equality all you want, Dove, but what is it that seems to prevent us, keep us from remembering the truth that we are the equal sons of God, that we have all received all, as the Course says, to have all, give all to all, the first of the three lessons of the Holy Spirit. Well, if I have denied that I have all, if I have not been willing to accept all, and I'm living in a part of myself, that part of myself that thinks it's separate and apart, which means I'm dreaming, I'm at home dreaming, I'm in exile, and I'm saying, you know, what would love do if I woke up and remembered what I am? And love with simply love. Love simply shares. In that reading that you just heard from Barb DeWater, it says, in Awakening to Your Redemption, it says, redemption is recognized only by sharing it. Only by sharing it. And it's in the sharing with your equal brothers and sisters, all included. Because if you exclude any, that's a lack of integrity. So either all are included, or literally that's denial. And denial is as total as love is. So the first thing I got to take a look at is, what am I doing to deny any brother my full love, compassion, kindness, openness, inclusion? Because if I deny any brother, I have denied myself. And that, of course, whatever you do with any brother is what you do to yourself. Up in the banner here, we keep that saying from the Holy Encounter, Chapter 8, Section 3. Whenever you meet anyone, remember it's a holy encounter. It's an encounter of holiness or integrity. As I see them, as I see him, I'm going to see myself. As I treat him, I'm going to treat myself. As I think of him, I'm going to think of myself. You'll either find yourself or lose yourself in that holy encounter. And losing yourself is just, well, it's a temporary lack of integrity. But if I am remembering that my own integrity will not allow me to get away with less than total integrity, in that same section, Chapter 7, Section 7, it actually ends the entire section with the following line. If you want to understand totally, you must be willing to understand totality. So, this course is really an all or none proposition. And it is a proposition. Jesus says, look, I'm giving this course to you, you know, use it, apply the lessons. You don't have to understand them. You don't even have to accept them. Just apply them, and it's in their application that you will experience their efficacy. So the goal of this course, as he says, is not knowledge. The goal of this course is peace. And we always remind ourselves that peace has only one condition. I think everyone here knows what that one condition is. The one condition for peace is equality. And that's equality with all. Not just with some, not with just the people here in this room, or equality with somebody who's doing the Course in Miracles. No. As the core principles of Awakening Together point out, that each, that means everyone who's come to this world of illusion, is on the perfect path for them. I don't have to be concerned that they have to do what I'm doing. Now, each is on the perfect glide path to come home as I am. So, my willingness to see this in others, my willingness to give to others what I have received, is simply my willingness to simply love, to teach only love, for that is what you are. I kind of asked the question, well, what is it that keeps me from seeing equality? And it came to me in a flash. Because if I'm not in the mind of oneness or sameness or equality, I must be in the mind of inequality. And what is inequality? And until you finally experience sameness and oneness, as it says, the only requirement to be a teacher of God is that you see that your interest and your brother's interest is not different. It's the same. And once you see the sameness and the inclusion of your brother as yourself, you have achieved the integrity of the mind of God. For God sees all of his children as the same, as equal. Yes, we say that this world was made when the Son of God asked to be special, a tiny mad idea entered into eternity, and the Son of God remembered not to laugh. And God says, well, there is no such thing as specialness. So we did make a world in which differences in specialness seems to be the rule of the land, the law of the land. And the only thing that allows differences and specialness to actually live in our mind is the belief that we can judge one over the other. So judgment, which we all know the Son of God was never given, ever, the ability to judge, the idea that we could judge actually became something that, well, if you have good judgment, you have wisdom. Isn't that pretty much the way we're brought up? If you have good judgment, well, you have wisdom. You have something that, you know, the poor judgment will get you into trouble, but good judgment will, you know, will keep you pretty much ahead of the curve, right? Yeah, if I can judge who my friends are, if I can judge, you know, who the worthy people are, if I can judge who my mighty companions are, if I can judge who my teachers are, you know, I'm going to be so much better off than if I don't have good judgment, right? Well, no, that's the laws of chaos. That's the laws of the ego, thinking that you can choose one over the other. Another word for choosing one over the other is sacrifice. So judgment actually sacrifices one for the other. It's no accident that in lesson 187, which is I bless the world because I bless myself. In paragraph 6, he says, those who understand what giving means must laugh at all the forms of pain and suffering in this world. For the one idea behind all the forms of pain and suffering and grief and scarcity and lack, poverty, starvation, and even death, the one idea behind them all is sacrifice, which is another word for making one thing more special than another. So if I make one brother more special than another, I have made a judgment already. Now, there's a line in the Course that says, an idea cannot leave its source. An idea cannot leave its source. And it's only come to me recently how deep this sentence goes. An idea cannot leave its source. Well, there are two sources, just like there are two worlds. There's the world that is a meaningless world, and a meaningless world engenders fear, and I've got to have knowledge, I've got to know who my brother is before I can trust him, because I'm here alone, and I'm defenseless, and I have to defend myself because I don't want to be hurt again. So I build this ring of defenses. In other words, I build one fence around me, and then another fence within that fence, and then another fence within that fence, and pretty soon I have built a fortress around me that keeps out those who I do not want based on my own judgment, and allow just certain people in based on my judgment. Now, it's really funny. I came across just this morning, and maybe I can post it over here, something by Ken Wapnick. We all know and love Ken Wapnick. This is what Ken says. He says, thus all special love is simply a carefully laid trap. And the ego is very, very patient. It says, I do not care if I have to wait 10 minutes, 10 hours, 10 days, or 10 years, or even 10 decades. I will wait because I know at some point you will betray me. You will forget my birthday, or you'll not give me that warm, loving good morning that I always like, or you will burn my toast, or something else. It doesn't matter whether it's trivial or something of magnitude. You will cross over that line, and now I've got you. This is really what the external manifestations of the Course refer to. So whenever I am locked into looking out at my brother as somebody that I've made special, you know, that so-called special love relationship, which Jesus says is really a special love-hate relationship. Once I made somebody special, sooner or later, they're going to betray me. You know, I'm going to put them on a pedestal. I'm going to worship them. You know, I give to them. Maybe they need security. I will give them security, but I have certain needs too, so I want those needs met. You know, maybe I'll pay the rent and you do the cooking. I have other needs, and, you know, together we'll get our needs met. But that's a special relationship. That's a judgment. And as Ken Wapnick points out, you know, sooner or later, it's a carefully laid trap. I kind of like the word, it's a tender trap, like the movie and the song. But a tender trap doesn't become so tender when all of a sudden the ego, which ranges in a range at best suspicious, you know, like, well, I don't want you cheating on me. Are you cheating on me? Are you lying to me? Are you doing something? Do you have something that I don't have? So when I see differences, all of a sudden the ego ranges from suspicious at best to vicious when it has to get vicious. So a lot of love-hate relationships or special love relationships, let's call it what they are, this special love relationship will sooner or later turn sour unless, of course, as the Course points out, I'm willing to convert that special love relationship to a holy relationship, a relationship of integrity, where we are both sharing the same purpose. And purpose in the Course is a very powerful word, because as he says in chapter 20, in lesson 25, I do not know what anything is for. The first three words of that lesson is purpose is meaning. So when we share the same purpose, and purpose is of mind, it's not of body. Purpose is a quality of mind, not of the body. When we share the same purpose and say, my purpose is to love the truth, maybe your purpose is to love the truth or to want the truth or to have truth correct all the errors of your mind. If you really want the truth, it will be given to you. But if your purpose is to control or to get something, and I've noticed in my own life, I'm speaking about myself, whenever I have ever thought of controlling somebody, trying to get something, manipulating, the only one that's ever controlled, the only one that's ever manipulated is myself. Because what you're doing is you're turning your mind over to a teacher that doesn't know who you are, what you are, but is always willing to be your host. Which is why Jesus says two or three times in the Course, would you rather be host to God, host to love, or a hostage to the ego, a hostage to judgment and differences and lack of integrity? So integrity is really my willingness to return my mind to God, my willingness to return my mind to God, mentioned that here in the room yesterday, and Roy, who is our Bible, New Testament loving member, pointed out that that's what it says in Matthew chapter 22, verse, I think, 21. And I have a copy of Regina Dorn Acres' NTI, the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. So I turn to it, and I'm just going to take a few words from it. Here it says, the journey to the wedding banquet seems to be the time in the world, seems to be time in this world. So we're taking a journey together to the wedding banquet. And the wedding banquet is literally the return of the prodigal son, literally. It's my return home. And it doesn't really matter what path you take going home. We're all in this together. We're all awakening together. And I think if you take a look at NTI's Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. When you have forgotten you're on the journey, there'll be many things that need your attention. I am in those things too, whether you see me being capital M or not. So do them in peace. He's really saying that the Holy Spirit is always with us. Oh yes, there will be some things that you think you need to do in this world, but remember, you can call upon the Holy Spirit. You're not the doer. That's one of the two or three things that I know for certain at this point in my life. I am not the doer. That all is given to me. There is not one word or thought that's given to me at this point that is not given to me through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, as we said here, is really the call to atonement. It's the restoration of the integrity of the mind. The integrity of the mind. Let's just read a little bit more out of NTI. This is what it says. When you remember that you're on the journey, many things of the world will seem to fall away. Let them go. But do not worry about the things in the world that seem to need your attention. Just as I have always been with you, I am there in those things too. As you learn to see me, capital M, me, in all things, the journey will seem easier. But it's not until you arrive at the wedding banquet that the journey will fall away. So live within your journey in peace and with me. Be happy and rest your mind. I am walking beside you, please, as we journey to the wedding banquet together. That reading, and of course we all know that NTI is described by Regina Dorn Acres from the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, is really a very gentle, soft version of A Course in Miracles. And for me, two lessons really pop up from that reading. One is lesson 128. There is nothing in this world I want. There is nothing in this world I want. So as long as my mind is dwelling on the things of this world, an idea cannot leave its source. I must be in lack of integrity because the finite mind cannot possibly understand the infinite, the infinite. So if I choose to dwell on the things of this world, things I think I need to survive, you know, things to take care of my body, things that I need to get from other people, notice Jesus says, the very first step in the undoing process is to stop the getting habit. He says that in chapter 6, section 5b, one of the three lessons of the Holy Spirit, to have peace, teach peace, to learn it. So as long as I think I need something, I'm not choosing the peace. I'm choosing the striving, the efforting, the idea that I lack something, and the only thing that I'm lacking in truth is remembering my integrity, which is one with God's integrity. For God has already given me all. I'm going to conclude with this, which probably is maybe the start of something that I'll give here maybe 3 weeks from now, my next Sunday morning here. And that is, it came to me this past week about the Ten Commandments. And most of us are very aware of the Ten Commandments. And I always thought that the first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no idols before me. Thou shalt have no idols before me, was probably the only one that really is necessary. The other nine are nice, but the only one that we really have to choose to be committed to is the first. Thou shalt have no idols before me. And it came to me, you know, the Ten Commandments themselves is kind of divided up into the first five is between you and your Father, between you and your Creator. And the second five is between you and mankind. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. And for me personally, of course it means, well, I shouldn't lie, I shouldn't steal, I shouldn't covet. That doesn't mean I haven't lied, stealed, coveted, committed adultery, cheated. But what he says, thou shalt have no idols before me, he's not talking about your actions in this world. That's what the ego would love, if you think it has to do with your actions in this world. Oh, no, no, no. And so many of us say, well, I would never lie. I would never cheat. I would never kill. I would never. I don't covet. But if you think of any brother, if you think of any sister, and you see them as lying to you, as betraying you, as denying you, and you're dwelling on any of these things, you have done the one thing that the first commandment says, do not do. Do not place any of these thoughts in your mind, for they will keep you separate from the oneness with God. Thou shalt have no idols before me. It means keep your eye on me. Don't look out into the world that you made, a world of dreams and illusions, and think that you're going to be right at somebody else's expense. Well, there for the grace of God go I. I don't lie, but they lie. I don't cheat, but they cheat. But where does all that cheating come from? It comes from the mind that's corrupt. The mind that I have chosen to look out into the world. The course is so simple and so clear. It literally says, projection makes perception. The world you see is nothing more than an outside picture of your inner condition. If your mind is on the 6 o'clock news, if your mind is dwelling on what somebody said or did, doesn't even have to be said or did to you, said or did to anyone. If you think that politicians are corrupt, if you think that anyone in this world is not doing the right thing, if you think that others are guilty and you are innocent, that's the judgment that brings about inequality. So when I say the goal of this course is peace, not knowledge, though knowledge, well, I know who's cheating, and I know who's lying, and I know who's cheating, and I know who's betraying, and I know who's denial. No, 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 no. Only the ego thinks it knows. That's why lesson 25 is, I do not know what anything is for. Only purpose has meaning, and what's my only purpose for being here is for healing. I can't heal and look out in the world and judge my brothers and sisters. Integrity is total, or it's nothing at all. Denial is as total as love is. I see the time is 11:11, all straight up, 11:11, all straight up. And with that, I'm going to conclude and thank everyone for being here, listening, tuning in, and thanking the Holy Spirit, Jesus, for all that I have received, all that I have given. And I'm going to play a little music. I think I have some ability to play some Reverend Yolanda music. And it's a time for Bob DeWard to put up a link if you'd like to make a contribution, a donation to Awakening Together. This is a wonderful time for that. Robbie says 1111 is the number of the angels. Thank you so much, Robbie. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Iris. And I love your sharing here last night. Iris is from London. And we'd like to have you here as a teacher of God, which you certainly are. So I'm going to put on a little music right now, and Barb is going to put up the link to make a donation. And if you are listening on the radio, you simply go to awakening-together.org, and you'll see on the menu bar on the top of that site, I think the last thing is a donation. Okay, a Vegas number. it can be anything you want it to be. Yes, we make it all up, don't we? Okay, I'm going to try and do this the best I could. Play a little Reverend Yolanda music. Here it is.
I'm living in love. Living in the truth that love has healed my life, because I'm talking about, yes, I am talking about, I'm talking about love.
Okay, I think I'm back here live again. Can I be heard? Yes, thank you so much. Thanks. That was Reverend Yolanda, and those people who did go to the conference did hear Sunday morning Reverend Yolanda, and she has the most beautiful voice. I didn't realize how incredible her voice is. She sang a song, I can't remember the name of the song, but it made me cry. It's a song from Les Miserables, both the play and the movie, about dreams. Anyone here who was at that conference, if you know the name of that song, I'd love you to just type it in. Just can't remember the name of the song, but it was about dreaming a dream. I dreamed a dream. Yeah, probably that's it, Cindy. Thank you so much. I dreamed a dream, and I just want you to know, when I heard it, I came to tears. Oh, my. Oh, my God, love that song. Yeah. Okay. we'll come to that particular section of the morning service, about the last 15 minutes, and we will have a whole hour in front of us after that, in which we have an hour of fellowship, sharing, which I hope maybe Barb DeWater will take over. I know that Lynn is already on the way to the airport, and this is a time for sharing right here in the room. If anything that was said here maybe inspires you to share something and you want to share it with your brothers and sisters, remember, that's pretty much the acid test of whether you have received and accepted what you have received, is your willingness to share. And again, as Barb DeWater read from Awakening to Redemption, redemption is recognized only by sharing it. Because I'm saying, I'm not doing this for me. I am one with my brothers and sisters, and everything that I receive, I give to all. It's in the giving. It's in the giving that we actually receive. That's called the law of love. For those people who love the Course, check out lesson 344. It says, what I give to myself. That's how you strengthen it, is by giving it. You strengthen an idea by sharing it. If it's only for me, whatever it is, and it says this, by the way, in lesson 344, a very short lesson, but it says, this is the law of love, the law of mind, the law of God. All three, all mentioned in lesson 344. And it says, if something is not given and you just store it up in your storehouse, you know, in your treasure box, when you go there later, your storehouse will be empty. Your storehouse will be empty. The only thing that is ever saved is what you give to all. And that's why the Holy Spirit only has three lessons. Only has three lessons. Those lessons are to have all, give all to all. So if I'm holding back, the only one I am denying is myself. The second lesson is to have peace, teach peace, to learn it. And peace is the goal of this course, not knowledge. So if I'm choosing to see my brother as my equal, and equality is the one condition for peace. And peace is the key to the kingdom. The kingdom is what I am. You're not entering the kingdom. You are the kingdom. But you cannot remember the integrity of the kingdom until you remember your brother as yourself. So what is it that I would give to my brother is what I have received. So anything that you have received here, please take this as an opportunity to share it. And then, of course, the third of the three lessons of the Holy Spirit is, above all, be vigilant for God and kingdom. And the way you're being vigilant for God and kingdom is you're being vigilant for your own integrity. Because your integrity and God's integrity is the same integrity. There's not two different integrities. We are of one mind. So when God says, are you ready yet to help me save the world? He's not asking you to do anything except to heal yourself, heal your mind, to accept yourself, to remember yourself as one with all. I trust my brothers who are one with me. Okay, anybody at all want to share anything in this last 10 minutes? And then remember, we have a whole hour ahead. Anyone at all feel? And there's Robbie. Robbie Starman, thank you so much. This mic is all yours.
Aloha. Hope you can hear me. Thank you, Dove. That was very inspiring. It's nice to wake up to these kinds of thoughts, these words of encouragement. I've been working with acceptance and your word integrity that you picked for today, and whole, everyone is whole, we're one big wholeness, blesses all of us. And I've been working with accepting and getting past my story of not feeling worthy and I didn't get nurtured and all that stuff that you go through psychotherapy about. But accepting I'm whole in God, in truth, and one with the Father. Now, to be homeless, and I also see that in my brother. But the feeling of worthiness is a continual thing or attribute that I'm working with, that I'm worthy, that I deserve to be loved, and to let God's love come in and share it with others and give it out, to share it, like you say. And it's interesting. I recently got connected to a woman that we are pursuing, hopefully, a holy relationship. We're kind of helping each other a lot. And her name is Cher, and from Santa Barbara. So it's kind of interesting how life unfolds and certain words come up. And right now it is important to share, to feel worthy. So I thank you for the opportunity. I'll let the mic go. Who's next?
All right. Thank you so much, Robbie. Yes. Working on integrity is literally a matter of just noticing all the things in which I do, which are judgments, which start to fall away when you say, all I really want is the truth. And truth will correct all the errors of my mind. When you want only the truth, you cannot fail. But if you want to be right in this world of dreams, you listen to Jesus, who repeats it 3 times in this course. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be happy? Choose one. You can't have both. Choose one. You can't have both. So the mind that says, well, I'm right and others ought to do as I do, you can be sure that that mind is already corrupt. And if you're into computers, like many of us are, I'm certainly not a computer maven. On the other hand, you know, if you have a corrupt file, you can't save the corrupt file. You just have to let it go. You may go to System Restore and restore your system to its original as it was given to you. And that's what integrity is I choose to restore my mind to God, to render unto God what is God's. And that's pretty much what is being asked of us. To heal our mind is to remember that my mind is not separate from the love of God. I am one, united with myself, with one Creator. And we all are. We all are. If I leave anyone out, I'm leaving myself out. There's no integrity in leaving one person out. I'm leaving myself out. No integrity. And the only way you could ever leave one person out, the only way you can leave one person out, is by judgment. Judgment. So judgment is the doorway to being a prisoner in this world. Because if I think that I can serve to another person's weakness and get them to do something for me by seeing their neediness, and I'm going to supply them with what I can supply them with so I can get what it is that I want from them, you can be sure that I'm already in that prison called the ego. Do you want to be hostage to the ego, or do you want to be host to God? That's really the choice. I'll share here what I shared at the conference. Some of you probably, if you're on Facebook, you probably noticed that Lisa Natoli, who was my sharing partner at the conference, has taken this on as her new way of seeing things. The story goes, you know, the conference in New York was directly across the street from Madison Square Garden, and we're at the Hotel Pennsylvania, directly across from Madison Square Garden and Penn Station. And back in 1969, Jim Morrison of the Doors stood there in the center of Madison Square Garden, and he looked to one side of Madison Square Garden filled with 18,000 loving fans, and he said, you know, I see you as love. I see you as life. And I love life. And then he turned his back on life and he looked at the other side of Madison Square Garden and he said, and I see you as death. you know, love and life have no opposites. What God creates is eternal. It has no opposites. But if you're sitting on the fence, and that's exactly what Jim Morrison said, and I am sitting on the fence between life and death, and sitting on the fence, sitting on a fence hurts my private parts. Lisa said I shouldn't misquote Jim Morrison because he didn't use the word private parts. He says it hurts my balls. So, you've got to choose. Heaven is a decision I must make. The power of decision is my own. Lesson 152. You can't sit on the fence. If you sit on the fence and you're thinking you're taking a free ride through this world, you will remain a prisoner. You remain in bondage. And just do it all over again. Until finally you choose. You're either choosing for God or for the ego. And when God says, are you ready yet to help me save the world? He's not asking you to save the world. He's asking you to remember who and what you are, that you are saved. You are saved. To teach that God's Son is free. Free of all judgments. Free of all lack of integrity, that I am as God is. I am as God created. I am free. I am not this body. I don't have to take care of my body. In chapter 4, section 1, paragraph 13, which was pointed out here by Lynn Johnson about a month ago, Jesus says, if you allow me, if you let me, I will substitute for your ego. I will never substitute for your spirit. But you can trust me, I will substitute for your ego, and I'll take care of all the things of this world that you think you need to take care of. That's the same thing we heard in NTI. Allow me to take care of the things of this world for you. Because as long as you think that you have to take care of things, you're going to have to manipulate, you're going to have to try and control and arrange things for your liking. And that's called a win-lose relationship. I win, you lose. And in a world where there are winners and losers, I assure you, there are no winners, only losers. Because an idea leaves not its source. If I see a separation between myself and my brother, I'm already incarcerated. I'm already a prisoner. I'm already in bondage, in chains, a slave to a mind that is corrupt. And I will see corruption everywhere, yes. And those people need to be punished, yes. So we live in a world of rewards and punishment. And as you all know, that is no way to live. That is not life. That is death. Okay, we're just about at that time. I want to really thank everyone for being here, joining in. Nancy Sullivan, who reminded me earlier, aloha and shalom, those people who come here this afternoon. Benny Silverman will be here at 5 o'clock from downtown Honolulu, Hawaii, and he always opens up by saying aloha and shalom. And shalom is the new mantra that was given to us by Reverend Carlos from Boston Unity yesterday, and he says, you know, shalom, which is the Hebrew word, which is the Hebrew word for hello, goodbye, for peace, also has a much deeper meaning. The word shalom is the idea that nothing is missing, nothing is broken. Let all things be exactly as they are. Isn't that lesson 268 of the Course in Miracles? Let all things be exactly as they are. Isn't that what Byron Katie says? Accepting what is ends all suffering. Accepting what is ends all suffering. Speaking about Byron Katie, I'm going to end with this. the idea of integrity not only came to me from reading chapter 25, section 9, The Justice of Heaven. Byron Katie's husband, Stephen Mitchell, who in his own right translated two books into English from the Tao Te Ching, I heard him on the Oprah show, and I heard him say, what this world is hungry for, what this world is hungry for is integrity. Yes, integrity. The road to atonement is another way of saying the restoration of our integrity. That's what the world is hungry for. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be turning this mic over to you. Thank you all. Abracadabra, this mic is all yours. Whoever wants it, Barb, I don't know if you're going to take it, but I do hope somebody does. Barb, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay, Rob, I saw you picked up the mic. I'm not sure if you want to take it. Is there anyone who wants to take it at this particular time? If I was better with this computer, I might play yesterday's talk by Reverend Carlos Anderson from yesterday's birthday event of the Course in Miracles. It took place up in Quincy, Mass. At Vicky Poppy's house, but I'd rather have somebody here just pick up the mic. This is our fellowship time. Why don't you play that recording? Oh, God, Barb. I tell you what, if somebody picks up the mic right now, let me see if I can maybe resurrect that recording. I don't know if I can resurrect that recording. I'm not having a lot of fun with my new computer, mainly because my recorder is not the same one I used to have that I knew so well. So anytime I record anything, it seems like I'm efforting. And by the way, Phil Frisk, I see Phil Frisk in the room. And Phil Frisk once said to me a long time ago, and those words still echo in my ears, but Doug, why do you think you have to record things? You really think you're going to be listening to these things? And I want you to know, that's come up to me very clearly in my own integrity. Why do I think I need to record anything? After all, you know, the room is basically, this is Lynn's room, and she has a perfectly good recorder. Why do I think I need to record? Hopefully, she has recorded this so that at least it would be in the archives of Awakening Together, which we do like to keep the Sunday morning service alive. On the other hand, why does Duff think he needs to record? Well, I'm going through that, and I may give up recording entirely, or I may call up my good friend Alex Rayenga, who is a tech guy, and have him point out what it is that I don't seem to see so simply. So does anyone want to pick up the mic, and I'll see if I can resurrect that recording if you really want to listen to it.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hi, I am Iris, and I just wanted to thank Dove and everybody else here this morning. I'm very new to the Course in Miracles, and this morning's talks and readings, and it's given me a new perspective, and I'm going to try this at work on Monday, tomorrow, to try my best to not judge my colleague who I've been judging this last week. And I'm going to ask God and Holy Spirit and Jesus to help me. Because I've been judging this colleague at work last week. And mainly it's because he's not doing things the way that I want him to do, so which is my way. And I noticed that the feelings that I get, like the negative feelings that I get, it's not the way that I want to live, and I would rather be happy than right. But it's a challenge to do it on my own, and so I will be remembering to ask God all the time. So I just wanted to thank you all for being here, and thanks a lot.
All right, thank you so much for that, Iris, and you're such a wonderful demonstration of being a teacher of God. Just your willingness in this course is really everything, just everything. Your willingness to share yourself from whatever is in your heart. We always say that Awakening Together and its predecessor, ACIM Gather, has always been to develop trust, and trust is the bedrock of the teachers of God. Of the 10 characteristics of the teachers of God, there's the first one and the only one that we are responsible for, and that is trust. All the other characteristics are given to you freely and naturally once trust is developed, and that is our consistency, which is our honesty, our tolerance, our patience, our generosity, our gentleness, our joy, our faithfulness, defenselessness, open-mindedness, and if I skipped anything, well, please forgive me. But the one that we are responsible for is trust. And this can take a long, long time, but every time you come to the mic, you are saying exactly what it says on page 28 of the text. I'm here only to be truly helpful. I'm glad to go wherever he sends me. I do not have to know what to say or what to do, for he who sent me will direct me, and he will give me what to say and what to do, and I will be healed as he teaches me to heal. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, when Benny Silverman comes, and he's been around the Course in Miracles community for years and years and years, he always repeats that very lovely opening before he teaches. I call it the teacher's prayer or the healer's prayer. You find it on page 28 of the text. It's in the center of the page in italics. Hi, Rachel, my love, who I saw at the conference. I'm going to turn this mic over to somebody who wants to pick up the mic right now. Maybe you want to share something that you heard here, or maybe something from the conference, maybe anything at all. I'm still looking for that thing from yesterday, which I recorded the afternoon of the Course in Miracles revival in Quincy, Mass. If I can find it and get it to work, I will play it. Otherwise, I'm turning this mic over to anyone who wants the mic right now. Thanks. illness with self-love, and I thank you, Heidi, for listening and tuning in. A lot of people, I just got a note from a gentleman by the name of Soren, who said thank you so much for the sharing. And yes, I know it touches a lot of people, because so many people look at sickness as something that somehow is not in accordance with the journey that we're supposed to be taking here in this world. And actually, everything is on our journey. Everything is on a journey. I think the idea of A Course in Miracles is to remind us that nothing in this world that we made apart from God can actually touch the Holy Son of God. Nothing. And that includes sickness. Now, if you say, well, what about all those people who are sick and who die? Well, if you believe in death and if you believe in the body, then I guess you do have a lot to be afraid of. And although there really is, in truth, nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear because, in truth, you are not a body and there is no death. I mean, we can go further. There is no world. I was listening to you, Heidi, speaking about, you know, well, we got to maybe change everything. The only thing that ever needs to be changed, and the only thing that we really can change, is our mind about the world. That's why Lesson 132, I loose the world from all that I thought it was, is such a powerful lesson. It's the only lesson in the Course, but it's just as important as any lesson. They're all equally of value to you. It says there is no world. This is the central theme this Course teaches. So, if there is no world, and my eyes and ears are saying, Dove, you know, what's all that noise in the background? There's construction going on, people are eating, sleeping, working. There is a world, you know, please don't share nonsense. Well, yeah, if you go to a movie, you're sitting in the movie theater, you know, if you're watching a 3D movie, it seems very real. Maybe you watch a 4D movie, you know, with time and space. They call that virtual reality. It's going to seem very, very, very real. These days, you know, you can have anything become virtual in your experience. And that's exactly what this world is. It is a virtual world. Everything is changing. The way you know it's virtual is that nothing remains the same. It's always changing. But what God creates is changeless, is whole, is complete, is eternal, and does not depend upon anything in this world. So if I am at the effect of this world, you know, then sickness and death will seem very fearful to me. If, as a matter of fact, I realize that, well, it's part of the journey, you know, I am born, I have a happy life, then all of a sudden I get sick, and I go through that sickness, maybe I will come out of it, maybe I won't. But the lessons that are being learned are really why I'm here. All things are lessons God would have me learn. All things are lessons God would have me learn. If I don't learn the lesson this time, I'll just come back and just repeat the same lesson again. I mean, you know, we've been doing this for millions of years now. I mean, literally millions of years. If you think this is your first time around, well, that's not true. There's a wonderful thing in the teacher's manual under trust. It says it takes great learning to understand that all things, all events, all encounters, and all circumstances are helpful. When he uses the word all, it means all. Yes, that means sickness, death, all of it is helpful. And then it says, it's only to the extent to which they're helpful that any degree of reality should be accorded them in this world of illusion. So if you haven't accepted that this is a world of illusion, what I just put on the board and what's in the Course in Miracles teacher's manual is really of no use to you. You know, the world you're looking at is a world of illusion. and everything is helpful. There's a lesson in all things of this world. And that you find in Workbook Lesson 195, all things are lessons God would have me learn. All things are lessons God would have me learn. So you might say, well, you know, why do I have to learn those kind of lessons? Why can't I learn the happy lessons? Well, we are actually responsible for the lessons that we learn. Yeah, yeah. Everything that seems to happen to me, I have asked for. I have asked for, and I receive exactly as I have asked. You know, if you think that that's not true, well, you're going to be doing lessons for a very long, long, long time, because only by realizing that I am cause can I actually remember that I am powerful. But as long as I think I'm effect, which means I'm weak and things are happening to me, the world is happening to me, people are doing things to me, people are taking advantage of me. But as long as you think of that, you're going to have a lot of lessons as a victim. That's called victim mentality. That, you know, things are always happening to you. You can't explain them. Oh, John says, I can see peace instead of this. Well, yeah, you might be able to turn your mind to peace anytime you want, and that's true. But if you're going through a sickness, an illness, maybe the doctor has diagnosed you as having cancer, as happened to me a couple years ago, you still have to go through the treatments, the chemotherapy, the radiation, or whatever it is the doctor tells you you have to go through in order to get rid of it, because, well, now I'm not saying you have to, by the way. I'm not saying you have to. Some people choose not to, and that's also okay. But if you do, yeah, there's going to be side effects to all that stuff. So, you know, as yesterday when I was sharing with Jennifer Hadley, I realized, you know, fixing anything in this world, whether it's sickness, disease, there's always going to be a side effect. Yeah, that's right. They tell me your cancer is cured, but that doesn't mean there wasn't side effects. I mean, in this world, when you go to fix a problem, you always create two more problems. That's just the nature of this world. That's the nature of this illusion. That's why you can't fix problems. If you think you can fix a problem in this world, you're just kidding yourself. If you think you can make an illusion real and say, well, I'm going to make this illusion a better illusion, I'm going to make it an illusion where I am controlling things, and I'm going to turn things around, and I'm going to fix this so it never happens again. No. You're just being swallowed up by the illusion. The illusion loves you to make it real. It says, oh, you want to make me real? Great. Okay, you know, fix this disease so nobody else ever has polio no one ever has this disease. Two more diseases just pop up, that's all. Did you ever hear of HIV before 1980? No. HPV cancer, which basically I had, no one really ever heard of it, really, before the 21st century, which is what we're in. Now all of a sudden it's blooming all over the place. Yeah, it's one of the fastest growing cancers around. HPV cancer, that's what they are vaccinating teenagers for. But the nature of this illusion is, as soon as you think you can change anything, you get two more things to change. No wonder we're so occupied and concerned and worried. And I heard Heidi say, there's no security here. You better believe it. How could there be security in something that's always changing? The moment you think that you're secure, something new pops up. You know, there's always another surprise. So the only thing that I can do is ask that last unanswered question. Because this world came out of the denial of truth. The denial of truth is all there really is love. And yes, John, peace is the condition for love. And yes, even peace has a condition. Does anyone remember what the only condition for peace is? John, do you know what the condition for peace is by any chance? Peace has one condition. Because if you just say, I can choose peace instead of this, that's just the ego's idea. You know, those are just words. Peace has one condition, and until that condition is met, peace is not real. Yes, Cindy Rust. Yes. Equality. And we always say, what's your EQ? What's your EQ? Because we're not talking about your IQ, which is your intelligence quotient, which means, well, how smart are you, Mr., Miss? Because if you're really smart, you're going to be better than those other people, and you'll find a way out of this jam that you're in because you're so smart. Well, that's exactly what the illusion wants us to think, is that we can outsmart the illusion. Oh, no, you can't outsmart the illusion. Anyone here see the movie A Beautiful Mind? Did anyone see the movie A Beautiful Mind with Russell? Yes, Cindy says yes. If you remember A Beautiful Mind, he was Russell Crowe. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. Thank you. I needed that. Russell Crowe. Yes. Thank you, Lynn. Yeah. He was schizophrenic. Now, if you understand anything about schizophrenia, it's all happening in your mind. You hear these voices that tell you what to do, what not to do. You think that you make people up, you know, and it's in the mind. And if you remember that wonderful scene, he's sitting in the kitchen, and this man was a brilliant man. He was a brilliant mathematician. He was a professor at Princeton. He was the top of his class, talking about IQ. Talking about IQ, he probably had, you know, his IQ was off the charts. But he had this thing called schizophrenia. But there's a part in him that said, I can beat this. I can beat this. And he says, I will outsmart it. I will outthink it. And if you remember those famous words that his doctor, who was in the room in the kitchen with him, said, no, you can't outthink this. Because what you are using to outthink it is where the problem is. That's why the ego is, you know, and it's an amazing device that we made. You know, it literally is in control of what you see, what you think, what you hear. And you can't outthink it. No matter how smart you think you, in fact, the smarter you are, the ego loves people who are very smart. Because you're using your mind all the time. No, this course is all about, I do not know what anything is for. I do not know what anything is for. Because the moment you think you know what anything in an illusion is, you're making the illusion very real. You're giving a name to it. You're giving a label to it. Oh, well, I know what that is. Oh, that's schizophrenia. Yeah, and I got some good doctors, and they know everything there is to know about schizophrenia. I got these books. I watch videos. I'm so well informed. Right. That doesn't really help at all, really, to be so well informed. The easiest way to let go of anything in this world of illusions is to say, I do not know. Because the ego stands for the opposite. Ego stands for, I know. Ego knows everything about everything. Is there anything that you don't know that you want to know, really? In this day and age, there's nothing that you can't know. And by the way, Heidi, I was thinking when you were talking about doctors in this world, what do? They just come up with prescriptions, remedies, And yeah, maybe it takes care of the condition on a surface level, but it doesn't really get to the causal root, and the guilt that projected and put the sickness there is still there. When you told that, when you share that, what came up for me is a guy named Dr. Edward Bach, who is a world famous immunologist operating out of London, England. And people came to him from all over the world to develop his famous immune systems to make them immune to whatever new disease was coming around, whether it was in India or whether it was in China. You know, wherever it was, people came to London to Dr. Edward Bach, who found how to come up with an immune remedy for that particular disease. But one day, Edward Bach came to the same realization as you, Heidi. He said, what good does it do for a person who goes through this world and seems to be very healthy because we've given him all these immune shots, and then one day he falls flat on his face, dead? What is it that he learned in this world? Is there anything that he learned from being able to go to work every day, 9 to 5, bring home a paycheck, and then one day, say when he's 60, 70, 80, he falls flat on his face and died? I mean, what did he learn in this world? How to stay alive now that he's dead? Obviously, that's not a good lesson, how to stay alive and then die. So Dr. Edward Bach, who had a very deep understanding of human emotions and how the emotions cause sickness and disease, that anger and fear and jealousy and all those emotions, how they cause sickness and disease, he actually turned his back on medical science of those days, which is 1939, which if you were living in 1939, that was medical science. And he went out into the English countryside and he collected flowers from the English countryside. And he turned them into what's now known and FDA approved by the Food and Drug Administration here in the United States and also over in Europe, certainly in England. It's called the Bach Flower Remedies. The Bach Flower Remedies. Now, the Bach Remedies don't cure anything, but they do raise awareness, key word here, to the emotions that are causing what's going on with you, so that you become more aware of the emotions that are causing your discomfort, your dis-ease, your sickness, your depression, whatever it is. So you do go to a Bach Flower certified, I was a Bach Flower certified counselor. I took the course in it, and he does pick out, after speaking to you, those Bach Flower remedies. I think there's 38 of them, and he picks out the remedies that are for you based on what you seem to be going through, and this arouses awareness in you of what's going on at an emotional level. So he turned his back on Western medicine, which is, well, let's put a needle in this guy's arm and then send him back to work, to become more causal in looking at sickness and disease. And yeah, sickness and disease does really come from lack, from feeling unloved, from feeling separate, from feeling apart, from feeling alone, from feeling that you're doing this on yourself. And you have to do things for yourself, that no one is helping you. And you're doing this, you're putting a lot of stress, and a lot of strain, a lot of effort. You know, where is love? Where's God? Is there a God? Well, all those questions bring up interesting things in us. You know, remember, all questions are of the ego. All questions are of the ego. There's no exception to that. All questions are of the ego. the highest order question that you can ask is the one that Jesus tells you to ask in chapter 4, section 5, paragraph 6, sentence number 7. I always say, this is easy as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Chapter 4, section 5, paragraph 6, sentence number 7. And what does it say? Ask of all things of this world, what is it for? Because you do not know. You do not know what it's for. You made a world of magic and illusion. You made a world without love, lovelessly, apart. You thought you could make a world apart from God. You can't. And now that world is haunting you. It's coming back to haunt you. And you're trying to figure it out. You can't figure the world out. Oh, yeah, the ego would love you to figure the world out. World cannot be figured out. It can only be left behind. And to choose once again. To choose love. To choose your true self. Not to sacrifice the love of God for something that you made. Not to make an idol or a sacrifice and think that this is better than what you had, because everybody now says, hey, wait a minute, you know, I don't know if this is such a wonderful place. You know, you're given 3 or 4 score years, and then all of a sudden, either you get sick, you go old, you can't use your mind, you might lose your house, you might lose your family, you might lose this. What kind of a world is that? Well, if you ask, what is it for, it'll be shown to you. Yes, because God is always with you. The Holy Spirit is always with you. That's the truth. That is the truth. You are never alone. That everything is given to you. There is nothing in this world that you're doing on your own. Everything is given to you. Yes, and if you ask, what is it for, the answer will be given to you. Like when I ask, you know, what's this sickness for? You know, I know I'm getting better. That's what the doctors tell me, I'm getting better. But, you know, why did I have this sickness in the first place? Well, if you ask, the answer will come to you. My answer, which I've shared here many times, is you are perfectly cared for. And that's true for everybody here in this world. Everybody is perfectly cared for. Now, if you need to have your own experience, that's fine. But then just ask yourself, you know, why do I think I'm not perfectly cared for? Is there something that I'm missing? Is there something that I want that I don't have? You got to ask yourself those kind of questions. Is there something that I want and that I don't have? Now, you might think that that was special effects. It is special effects, actually. I wanted to play some music. Wanted to take a short break before we go on. We have a good 2.5 hours ahead of us. So I am going to put some music on. I think we just put on Reverend Yolanda. I believe that's Reverend Yolanda's voice. Yes, it is. So we're going to put on a little Reverend Yolanda to give Dove a chance to take a short break. Suzanne asked for some yogurt, which I'm going to go get her. I'm going to get something to drink. Anyone has any questions, please write them on the board. We'll be back shortly. So let's just continue with Reverend Yolanda, and he's going to be one of the presenters Sunday morning at the Course in Miracles Conference. We hope to see you there. Right here, right now, is Reverend Yolanda. This mic is all yours. Take it away, Reverend Yolanda. Love listening. Okay, take it away.
And light. Yes, I am. I'm living in love.
Every now and then, you just get out there in the world and you feel like you're all alone. But let me tell you something. There's nothing to fear because you are not alone. Just look deep inside yourself. Are you breathing? I ask you, are you breathing? Okay then, God is with you. There's nothing to fear. Just step out that door and walk into the world. And you're living in the truth that love has healed your life.
Okay, we're back here live again. That was the wonderful voice of Reverend Yolanda, who teaches here along with Reverend Glenn Ganaway on Thursdays. And that's from his album. It's an album of 12 songs. And of course, Reverend Yolanda's coming out with a movie. Maybe the movie's already out. So we're very happy to play his music here as a way to give us a pause to reflect. And what is it that we are reflecting on? Actually, the words in his preaching in that song, he said, let me preach a little here, was exactly what we were talking about. We were speaking about, sometimes you think that you're all alone. No, you're never alone. If you're breathing, God's with you. If you're breathing, God's with you. And by the way, even if you're not breathing and you left your body, you're with God. It's impossible to be apart from God. It's impossible to be apart from God. So God is the strength in which you can trust. If you're trusting in your own small, little, weak self-strength, well, as Jesus says in Lesson 47, you have a lot to be afraid of. I mean, who are you to be counted on? But if you're trusting on strength of one who has created the universe, you can be happy right now. In fact, the next lesson says there's nothing to fear. That's exactly what Reverend Yolanda said. There's nothing to fear. That's a statement of fact. So I think, you know, and John, when you mentioned up above, I think you said being in the holy instant. Yeah, so just be in love's presence of the Holy Spirit with God, and that becomes the holy instant. Well, those are the words of the Course, sure. To be present right now. That's the topic of the conference coming up. The holiest spot on earth is where an ancient hatred is replaced by a present love. Now, those words seem to be very simple to say. But Jesus says, don't ever fool yourself. You know, just saying these words is not sufficient. Because as soon as somebody does something to you that you don't like, maybe they say the wrong thing to you, maybe they betray you, it doesn't really matter what it is. Maybe your house gets blown up and you don't like it. Maybe a tornado comes through your house, you know, knocks the whole house to pieces, and you're standing in front of your house with all your belongings in it and nothing's there anymore. Well, do you still have the peace of God? Do you still have a loving presence? And I'm not saying that people don't slip into moments of despair, moments of feeling alone. But when you know that you can always turn to one who is always with you and know that there is a lesson in everything for you to learn, and God hears you. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you truly want. That's why when it says, is prayer necessary? And in the teacher's mind, the question is prayer necessary? And he says, strictly speaking, no. I mean, if you don't think that God who created you doesn't know you, doesn't know exactly what it is that you need and what you want, and is always there giving you exactly what you need and what you want, somehow you think that you and God are in separate places. You're saying, well, God, this is what I really need, and I don't see you giving it to me. You can be sure that everything you have is exactly what you need to fulfill your only function for being here, which is remember the truth of what you are. We would like to think, well, if I had a bigger car, a bigger house, a bigger this, a bigger that, you know, if I had more money in the bank, that would allow me to take my mind off all my concerns. I could spend more time doing A Course in Miracles. That's not really true. You can spend all the time you need right now doing The Course in Miracles. It's not about a matter of having more money in the bank. If that's what you think your security is based on, is money, Jesus laughs at that. There's two lessons in which he's laughing at things like green paper strips. The one that comes to mind first is lesson number 76. I'm under no laws but the laws of God. So if you think you're under the laws of the world, which looks at green paper strips as valuable, as important, well, you're still fooling yourself. You know, well, God, if I had this and if I had that, then I would be a better, holier person. No, God says, no, you're a holy person right now. I created you as my holy son, and there's nothing that my holy son cannot do. Now, if there's things you think that you cannot do, it's only because I've trained my mind over many eons, many lifetimes, to think that I'm not as good as other people. So, the way that happens is we build these security systems for ourselves, places that we call where I don't want certain people to come into my life. I'm going to close the door, keep a lock on it, make sure that I'm safe. I don't care about others. I only care about myself. You know, and you can see that that's how the ego operates. It does everything for itself. It has a selfish motive. Now, that is not the Son of God that your father knows. That's not what God created. God did not create a holy son that has locks on the doors to keep somebody out. Who do you think you're keeping out? That's the ego keeping God out. Ego stands for edging God out. Yeah, I feel safe when I have a lock on the door, and I only trust people when I get to know them. Well, that's not the way God sees it. God sees that all of his children are the same, that they're all equal, that all children of God are created equal. That's why equality, what's your EQ, not your IQ? IQ lies. EQ tells you the truth. Your EQ is your willingness and your ability and your capacity to see your brother as yourself. That's what equality is. That I am, and my brother is one and the same. We share the same interests, the same goal, the same purpose, and that's to remember the truth of what we are. That's true for everybody out there. All 7 billion people have the same purpose. You might say, well, I know that's not really true. I know this gang down on the corner, and all they're interested is taking other people's money, stealing their valuables, breaking into houses. So those people aren't really concerned about remembering the truth of what you are. Really? No. Those people have the exact same desire to be happy as you do. Remember today's lesson, lesson 100, and tomorrow's lesson 101 says, God's will for me is perfect happiness. If that's God's will for me is perfect happiness, and I share God's will, that must be my will too. My will must be perfect happiness for me too. But if my happiness is at the expense of another, then I'm sacrificing their happiness for my own. That's not God's will anymore. God says, I've given all of myself to all. Yes, you're free. You are free to do exactly what you want to do. Remember, that's what love is. Love is freedom. I love you so that if you want to dream and go to the movies, 3D movie, 4D movie, 5D movie, you want to go to the movies and watch movies? Go ahead. You want to go to the holodeck and create a virtual reality life for yourself? Go ahead. That's okay. But sooner or later, you're going to wake up and remember that you never left home, that you're always in the mind of God. There's only the one mind of God. It's not two minds. It's not my mind and God's mind. There's one mind. And in that one mind, I'm given everything. But to enter and remember that one mind, to enter and remember that one mind, I'm already there, but I won't know that I'm there. I won't know that I am with God unless I am in the peace of God. Because peace is the only thing that opens the door to the kingdom. It's the key to the kingdom. And the kingdom is not a place outside of you. The kingdom is you. You are the kingdom. So to remember yourself, you must return your mind to the peace of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit only has 3 lessons, doesn't have 100 lessons or 300 lessons or 30 lessons or 13 lessons, only has 3 lessons. And the second of those 3 lessons is to have peace, teach peace to learn it, to have peace, teach peace to learn it. So you might say, as Jesus said, the goal of this course is not learning anything. is that knowing the right word, like equality is the right word or peace is the right word? No. It's to live in the peace of God. The peace of God doesn't need anything. The peace of God has everything. It already has been given. That's why it's called the peace of God. It's your immune system. You're totally immune to anything that happens in this world. Totally immune. It identifies you as changeless, eternal, that nothing in this world of change, nothing in this world of illusion can touch the Holy Son of God. So that is your immune card. That's your immunity. That's why you can turn the other cheek, as Jesus says. I can turn the other cheek. Hold on one second. Okay. So, to say these words is one thing. You know, lesson 185, all I want is the peace of God. To say these words is one thing, but to mean it is a whole different world. Because if you really mean it, then nothing in this world really means anything. Of course, you find that in lesson number one, nothing I see here means anything. And for me, lesson one is the whole course. It doesn't have to be the whole course for you. And if you do the course the first time you come to lesson one, you'll probably say the same things that we heard Cheryl Kaplan said. Oh, this is crazy. This is BS. What do you mean nothing here means anything? He gives you a big hint in lesson number two. Just in case you think something here means something, just remember, you're the one who's giving it all the meaning it has for me. All the meaning it has for me. So, yeah, this world has a lot of meaning for a lot of people. Now, for that gang down on the corner who's breaking into people's houses, you know, this world has a meaning for them. They want to see who has the most money on the block so they can break into their house and take the money so that they can be happy. Remember, that they want to be happy, too. You might say, well, their way of finding happiness is different than my way. I'm just going to do my lessons and I'm going to do tomorrow's lesson, and it says, God's will for me is perfect happiness, and my will is the same as God's will, so I share God's will for my happiness, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be happy. But you're going to notice that if you don't give all that you have received to all, if you haven't given your joy and your happiness and your blessings to all that you meet, including the gang down on the corner, you're still whistling Dixie. Because if you deny a brother, even though they may be acting insanely at the time, you're really just denying yourself. Because when you're walking down the street and one of those gangs coming down the street heading towards you, you're thinking, whoops, there's one of those guys. Now, even though that guy may not even be thinking about you, he may be deep in his own thoughts, you're going to think, because that's how the mind works, that's how the ego mind works, you're going to think that he's out to get me because, after all, you know, I really didn't love him the same way I love my best friend. I didn't see this guy as equal as I saw, you know, my pastor or my teacher or my wife, my husband. I didn't see this guy as equal. And something about him is going to know how I felt. But that's how the ego thinks. You know, I grew up in that part of the neighborhood where, well, back in the day when I was a kid, it was easy to go shoplifting. That's right. And we go down to Woolworths or Five and Dime or whatever. And it was so easy. They didn't have cameras in the sky and all that. And, you know, you just did the easiest thing. If you wanted to get a box of Crayola, you just took the box of Crayola, and it was yours, right? Robbie says, I stole licorice. Right. John says, I love you, Doves. All right. So, you know, it took me all these years. It just came to me just recently. If I told you, it just came to me yesterday, and that's the truth, that whenever I think that others are going to steal from me, it's only because I stole from others. It's just that simple. Even though I don't steal from anybody anymore, I haven't in so many years, I can't ever remember when that was all cut off. I still have the mentality of somebody who thinks that somebody can steal from me. And if I think that somebody can steal from me, I'm going to be on guard. I'm going to be defending and being concerned about my security. I don't want to take chances. You know, this is a world where people can break into your computer and they can take your ID, they can steal your ID, and then they can take everything you have. And if you live in that kind of fear, I promise you, you don't have the peace of God. No, the peace of God is that nothing in this world can harm or touch the Holy Son of God. If you think that your bank account is part of the Holy Son of God, that's not what God is thinking. He didn't give you a bank account. You gave yourself a bank account, and